This is our number
10. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to the Fastest 15. So I had one of those aha moments on Friday. I heard from one of our listeners. Their son had been at Comic-Con earlier in the day.
Okay.
Their son told mom he was participating in the climate walkout at school. But dad found out he went to Comic-Con.
Uh-oh.
I just want to know how many kids who said they were walking out to save the planet ended up at Comic-Con on Friday. I bet it was a significant number. I'm guessing my listener's not the only one who got fooled by that one.
Probably not, but there were quite a few kids who turned out for the walkout.
There were even more at Comic-Con. And I just...
Based on that one report.
I'm guessing, yes.
You're just guessing.
That's not an isolated incident. But the kids say they want to save the planet, but Comic-Con was a much bigger deal.
Do you honestly not give kids any sort of credit? I mean, kids that age for actually caring about something?
No.
You don't give them my... having worked with kids that all, that much?
They care about some stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I give them more credit than that. I actually think they do care.
They've been... I mean, the ones who care have been scared bleepless and have been brainwashed into caring by a one-sided message in the school. So if there was some balance, then I'd give them credit for being able to come down on one side or the other. But they only hear one side of the message. And are we talking about...
Kids are smarter than that, too. Everything's within their fingertips. They can just Google, look around, read for themselves.
They only get one message at school. They only get one side of every message when it comes to climate, when it comes to guns, and anybody who dares take another side. Are we talking to that Tacoma teacher next hour?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to talk to the teacher in Tacoma who dared step out of line of the leftist, you know, desire for, what do they call it, ethnic diversity study. And they want his job. School board wants him fired. Because of it, which is outrageous. And that's the thing, Ursula, is if you dare say something that violates the religious-like orthodoxy that controls our schools, they want you fired. They want you eliminated.
Well, I think one issue that you haven't brought up with this teacher, maybe you can with the conversation, would be that if the district has embraced this, you know, priority for having this sort of diversity training, for someone who's within the school district to go out, put out an editorial and say, I think this is a bunch of, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you say, well, it's government and it's public.
It is the government.
They should be able to do that. But it undermines what a district has decided they want to make as a priority.
Do you feel that way about when Bob Ferguson sues the Trump administration?
About what?
About everything. He's filed 28 lawsuits.
Well, yeah, I think the number of lawsuits
every
is
one
excessive.
Of them, the one about the wall. Do you think that's a bad lawsuit by Bob Ferguson?
Well, how does that even play into what I just
because
talked about?
The federal government is telling how we're supposed to feel about
we're talking about,
feel
a
about
teacher,
the wall.
We're talking about a teacher who influences your kids on a daily basis.
Right. And I'm talking about the exact same thing. If you're okay with government saying that what we dictate is how you must think, then you got to care about Donald Trump's right to do that every bit as much as the Tacoma School District. And anything else doesn't...
And I just don't think it's quite that black and white. But in any case, I look forward to your conversation with the teacher. Because you're talking about a classroom. Bob Ferguson is not teaching our kids in a classroom.
No, he's determining of how lawmaker or how we're spending our money, our taxpayer dollars. We're spending $1 million for every lawsuit so that he can burnish his national reputation because he dares speak out against the government. And I'm just saying, if you think that a bunch of school board members can dictate how everybody thinks, then you should be equally protective of an elected official telling you how to think.
And I don't think they're telling you how to think. They're saying we should offer these classes so that people can have the option of thinking.
No, they said if you don't think like this, you're going to get fired. Do you want me to play the sound bites? A school board member said that they're going to fire people who don't think the way the government board tells them to think, and that they must teach what the government tells them to teach. So there can't be any free thinking teachers then. We're going to let a school board determine what gets taught to all of our kids.
I think that's just oversimplification.
Do you want me to play the soundbite? I got to bump it up now from Friday.
No. You're going to have the teacher on and he can explain it all over again.
Well, but I'm trying to. Your analogy doesn't work for me.
Well, I'm just saying we started with, I don't think you give students enough credit.
And I don't think that the government should only present one side of a story to kids.
Yeah, and I don't think that they do.
Okay. Here's the school board member telling this teacher who just thinks diversity education is a bad idea and quoted Abraham Lincoln and had a very eloquent, long piece. And here's the school board president.
And thank goodness that I think that the Michael Jankaniches are in a minority in our school district now. And we're going to work hard to make sure that all of our teachers do what we want them to do. And that is teach diversity and honor the diversity and honor the...
Okay, so they're going to make sure that all teachers do what we want them to do. So that's a government official saying that if you dare step out of line with our leftist dogma, you will be fired. And this is very much leftist dogma.
And what I'm trying to say is that whoever that just spoke there, I don't think articulated
the
it well
school board
enough.
President.
Yes.
I'll play the rest of it.
Cultures of all of our children. And as long as I sit up here, I have no problem reiterating that and no problem saying that publicly and will continue to do so.
Okay, so she publicly says that she's going to make sure that all teachers think alike. So they are mandating that you cannot have diversity of thought in the Tacoma schools.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I don't hear it the same way as yours. I think...
What are you missing? She said, I'm going to make sure that all teachers do what we tell them to do.
Well, if the district sets a policy, it is unusual then for a district to go... someone within the district, someone who heads a department to go out and put an editorial and say, I think this is a bunch of bogus, then he shouldn't teach there. The district has decided...
So a free person cannot comment on a bill that's before the State House. If they're a teacher.
But he went beyond what was the bill in the State House.
So you don't think teachers should be able to comment on any bills in Olympia?
I didn't say that. But I've said that this teacher in particular has gone against something that the district says this is important and I think has mischaracterized
But it's not important. And he gave his reasons why it's not important. And I gave...
So he's allowed to, so he gave his reasons and they're saying we disagree with that.
No, they're saying we're going to make sure this cannot happen. That's what she said.
Is he still teaching?
Yes. Yeah, but she's going to try to make sure I'll talk to him in 45 minutes or 50 minutes now. But she's going to try to make sure that he is not teaching. She said that in the soundbite. They are not going to allow. And again, it's only one side of the political spectrum that a district will ever allow. And if somebody steps out of line, you're going to have a school board member threatening their job like that. And I think it's absolutely the most outrageous thing when we have that now on tape, a school board member saying that all teachers have to think alike on an issue that's before our state legislature. But I'll talk more about this next hour. Okay, next up in the Festus 15, Boeing could be in some huge trouble here because as they are revealing more and more of this Ethiopian air crash, they are now saying that the two crashes, Indonesia and Ethiopia, there are such distinct similarities. And on CBS this morning, they were talking about how they only gave the pilots a few minutes of iPad training before allowing those flights or those pilots to go back on the 737 MAX. And it is, if that was their response to not put them in a flight simulator and sit them in front of an iPad and then the same thing happened, then Boeing and the FAA, frankly, are in some serious problems for the way this whole 737 MAX crash has been handled.
So what they're talking about, too, is that Boeing had added this anti-stall system to these jets when they went into service in 2017. And this system was not on the older 737 aircraft. So someone from the Pilots Association said, we got less than an hour on an iPad.
Yeah.
However, it wasn't the defense, though, is that it really wasn't that complex of a fix. Like, all you had to do was flip a switch and pull up.
Right.
And
but if you,
that's what they're saying.
Exactly. So, but if in some of these other countries, if they didn't get that same training, they were not aware of it.
Yeah, they may not have had the same, even the 56 minutes on the iPad.
Well, and the standards for pilot training over here are obviously huge in comparison to some other countries. And, it's a problem.
Well, I was going to say one other thing. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Dory. So the one other thing is that now there is a criminal investigation launched, according to Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, and the thing about criminal investigations is because they're launching a criminal investigation for the wildfires in California right now, where it was the power companies that started the wildfires. And criminal investigations never end up with criminal penalties against the executives. And if your company caused a wildfire, then they hit the company with a huge fine, and then the company declares bankruptcy and nothing changes. And if somebody at Boeing is personally responsible in this criminal investigation for the deaths of hundreds of people, which is what's being alleged here, then you just wonder if those criminal penalties should extend to executives instead of just fines against a corporation. Like in the California case, they're going to just declare bankruptcy. Okay, next up in the Fast 15, Jay Leno last week, he said that he's tired of the lack of civility on late night television.
Everything now is, if people don't like your politics, everyone has to know your politics. When people see you as one-sided, it just makes it tough. And plus, I did it when, Clinton was horny and Bush was dumb, and it was just a little easier.
You're mad.
Now it's all very serious. Everything is just so I just like to see a bit of civility come.
Okay, he wants civility and everything is so serious. Well, John Oliver on HBO last night tore Leno apart and said, really? Have you apologized for your lack of civility when you tried to help destroy a young woman's life?
I wasn't in the U.S. at the time, but 10 years after the fact, I was in a Daily Show piece marking the 10th anniversary of the scandal above a graphic reading 10 sucking years, which is gross.
He's talking about the Monica Lewinsky scandal when he did the Daily Show bit.
Well, let's see what's going on with Monica, or as President Clinton calls her, my little humidor.
1 million samples of DNA. They said it is the largest collection of DNA in the world, not counting Monica Lewinsky's closet.
And the humidity, man, I'll tell you, people's clothes are stickier than Monica Lewinsky's. Man, it was just...
And you can't get away without at least one of these.
It just goes on and on and on, the Leno jokes. And John Oliver just ripped him and said, this is the guy who's saying things are too nasty now?
Those jokes have not dated well in any sense of the word. And they're pretty rough. Especially coming from a guy who just this week complained about late night TV, saying he'd like to see a bit of civility come back. You know, like that time that he did a bit with a fake book about Lewinsky titled The Slut in the Hat. And if that's what he means by civility, may I offer my new book, Oh, the Places You Can Go F*** Yourself, Jay Leno. Look how civil I'm being. Look how civil this is.
He makes a good point.
Well, yeah. He says Leno's the one calling for civility now, but that he just, ripped apart, didn't have any hesitation in trying to help destroy the life of what was a 22-year-old intern. And then John Oliver had Monica Lewinsky on the show last night.
Is it tough, though, sometimes just to get through a typical day without having to deal with this? Because the ubiquity of references to you is incredible.
Yeah, it's insane. I think, and in part, a lot of that happened because of this sexist really thing that happened, which is that the scandal was named after me, became named after me. So it meant that any time that this has been referenced every single day in the past 20 years. So it may not be a direct reference to me, but because the investigation and the scandal has my name, I'm then therefore attached to it.
I do feel bad for her.
Another good point.
22 years old, an intern, and now she's become a punchline for two decades now.
Well, I'm not sure what else it's going to be called. I don't
know. Clinton. They called after Clinton.
Well, I mean, it was. I mean, Clinton's not left scandal. Out.
Yeah, but that's not synonymous with that particular sex act. Her name is, because it's a more distinctive name. But, yeah, Bill Clinton's gotten off relatively, well, I shouldn't say gotten off. Bill Clinton has escaped relatively scot-free in this whole thing. Next up in the Fastest 15, here's another example of when the media hears something that doesn't fit their storyline. On CNN, they had a doctor, a Muslim theologist on CNN, and they were beating up on Trump's policy in Islamic countries. Listen to how fast this guest gets cut off when she doesn't toe the CNN line.
Viewers should know this president and this administration is often castigated as Islamophobic, but I move in the Muslim world, in Egypt, in Oman, in Jordan, in Iraqi Kurdistan, where this president is beloved. This president and the Republican Party, going back to George Bush, is very dearly held. Today is the anniversary of Halabja, the massacre of 180,000 Kurds at the hands of Saddam Hussein. That only changed because of a Republican president. So it's very important not to lose...
No, the producers right now are talking to the anchor. Cut her off, cut her off, cut her off! She's saying nice things about Trump, cut her off!
So much perspective that we start believing our entire government is Islamophobic. That's not the case.
Dr. Kanta Ahmed, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man, they couldn't end that interview fast enough when she started saying nice things. And new ratings are just out for CNN. I mean, it's impossible to get much worse. They have one-third the ratings of their competitors on both Fox and MSNBC. MSNBC has an ideology that's similar to CNN's, but MSNBC has triple the numbers in prime time that CNN has. CNN, the last 20 shows in cable television news are all CNN programs. Nothing else has toppled as far as CNN. And, an interview like that, they don't like presenting any other side of a story. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. A bunch of you have written in about that Como special this weekend about Seattle dying. And we'll tell you a little bit of what Channel 4 had to say about that issue, because I know how important it is to you, and I'm hearing from a lot of you about this on the Online Trading Academy text line. So we'll talk about that next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I have heard from so many of you who watched the Eric Johnson Como News special this weekend called Seattle is Dying. And first of all, I want to credit them over at Channel 4 for tackling this issue, because it is not a flattering portrayal of our government officials, of how we have allowed things to devolve into such a miserable state throughout the Puget Sound area. But one of the stories is a business owner who said, could we please just give cops some freedom to do their job, because their hands are so tied now?
This is Mehrdad Derek Shande. He runs an upholstery shop in Ballard near the Burke-Gilman Trail. See if you can't feel his frustration.
This is not right.
Out his window, he looks at this.
Oh, they're human beings. Yes, I'm a human being too.
Customers coming to his shop see the same thing.
I have known cops from Compton, Watts, South Central. They have some power in their hand. Here, you see a bunch of twinkle toes running around here. What the heck? Because they run the city like that. They're having problems. They're not having enough authority.
There were fires set outside his shop this past summer, and Mr. Derek Shande does not blame police. He believes their power has been stripped away.
The city mayor doesn't give the cops authority. That's the problem. We need somebody with some weights and tell them, it's not legal living on the sidewalk. It's city ordinance. It's not legal living here. Why can't we enforce the law?
Well, you could. Instead, in Olympia, there are some radical leftists who are going the other way. And they're saying that the cities that do enforce the law, like suburban Bellevue does a much better job with homelessness. They don't let people camp on the sidewalk. There's a bill in Olympia that would mandate that every other city deal with homelessness the way Seattle does. And that way they won't just drive all the homeless into Seattle. But Seattle has no clue. But here's the problem, and this is to this business owner's point. When you have a city council as radical as Seattle's, when you have so many socialists and Marxists, and with Sawant and her ilk, their whole goal is to destroy the city, to dismantle law enforcement as we know it, so they can build up a new Marxist-style police department. And so that's why exonerated cops in shootings get called murderers, like Shama Sawant. And you and I get to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars defending Sawant against a lawsuit when she opens her big yap on stuff like that. But it's all part of undermining the cops. It's a very specific strategy that has taken power away from the cops, and it's to give the power to the street people who can then be influencers in getting Marxists on the city government. Nakomo didn't extrapolate all that from this, but I sure do because I know exactly what the stated goals are. Here's a guy. I got to paint you a little picture. This guy, Travis, that Como News talked to, he's got like keychains hanging from his hair. He's got suckers like Tootsie Pops sticking against his head in his hair. And this is who we're turning the streets over to?
You're a user, right? What's your drug of choice?
I use methamphetamines.
Yeah.
And I try to at least use it once a day. But I don't really consider myself a drug abuser. The shit is amazing.
You like the meth?
I love it.
34 criminal cases in 4 years. Things like assault, attempted rape, trespassing.
You're on a list, you know.
Nice.
There's a list of the 100. They came out with the 100 frequent flyers.
Really?
Friendly faces.
Of everything?
Of all. The entire.
Which one am I?
Which number on the list?
Yeah.
Oh, you're up there.
Nice.
You're up there.
I was just saying, like, I've definitely been the most in Seattle, guaranteed.
Travis, put the bike down, Travis.
This is body cam footage of an incident on First and Pike a little more than a year ago.
Travis!
What's up?
Travis? Hey, come on, Travis. Travis! Hey, you
fucking bitch!
Travis, put the bike down.
It started with property destruction and escalated into assaulting police officers. A bunch of cops were deployed.
Stand up so we can get out of here.
Bergy spit on them.
Don't spit.
I mean, this is who we're turning the streets over to. And again, congratulations to Channel 4. They've got the whole show posted at comonews.com. But it's just amazing. It's absolutely amazing that we allow guys like this to have taken over the streets, be the most frequent offenders. They just play catch and release with them.
Them.
Hey, no biting. Don't bite yourself either.
Stand up, Travis. We're going to the gurney. Here's the gurney.
It lasted hours.
You steal for your habit?
I actually just started stealing last Monday. I started stealing. And, oh, my God, dude. That was one of the hardest sacrifices, is to, like, do unrighteous things in front of my dudes.
Travis, just relax. Travis, do you want to smoke? Travis, you want a smoke or a candy bar?
No!
But,
will you continue to do that?
Oh, I'm having a blast now. It is so much fun.
What should the system do with a guy like you?
I think that this system has done what any viable, legitimate system would. And they've really, like, exalted me and, like, shown deference and love towards me.
Back the f*** up!
I want to see you pick it up with your mouth, though. Remember when you caught it with your toes?
And, like, I don't feel like I'll ever be arrested again. I haven't been in jail for, like, a year and 3 months or so, you know? So a change like that, responding to big change definitely shows that I have conquered the criminal justice system.
Want to know the sad part, the truly frustrating part? He's probably right.
So that's the kind of guy that's running around on the streets of Seattle now. And we have public officials who refuse to do anything about it. And some innocent people. You know, we have certainly talked to lots of people who have been victimized by rapists and would-be rapists. These are people who are drug vagrants who have come here from other states. And here's at ComoNews.com, here's Lewis Arby's story in their Seattle is Dying piece.
Police say that on July 20th of 2017, this man, Lewis Arby III, 41 years old, removed the screen from a woman's window at an assisted living facility in SeaTac and crawled in. The woman inside was brutalized for an hour. She was raped and beaten and choked and robbed. Police say Lewis Arby also urinated on the floor. Afterwards, police say he left through the same window he'd entered through. The victim was treated for bleeding on the brain, a broken nose, and other injuries. She was 71 years old. It was a shocking and disturbing crime, but perhaps we shouldn't have been all that surprised. Just 4 days before the rape, just 96 hours before police say he scarred one woman's life forever, Lewis Arby III was arrested here, sitting next to the fountain, right outside the King County Courthouse. Police say he was selling methamphetamine. That's him in the back of the squad car after the arrest. He was booked and then released almost immediately.
Do you get this? 4 days before he brutally raped a 71-year-old woman, they had him for selling meth. And they just let him go. Let him go. Go rape. This is what we have running this place now.
Our criminal justice system decided that he shouldn't spend even 24 hours in jail. But even a brief look at his record would have shown that Lewis Arby had come from California, where he'd spent 19 years in prison for kidnapping, robbery, and carjacking. And had prosecutors looked a little more closely, they'd have known that Arby was the only suspect in a case 3 months prior in which a woman was taken hostage, forcibly shot full of drugs, and viciously raped and beaten for 15 hours. The King County Prosecutor's Office says, in this case, we had information that he had a 1995 California conviction for kidnap to commit robbery and other offenses. The prosecutors assigned to the investigation had no knowledge of other pending investigation. And so we are left with a question. How is it that a man is arrested in front of a courthouse in possession of a deadly drug that destroys lives? How is it that this man, who has a long history of violence, doesn't even spend 24 hours in jail? How is it that he is sent right back onto the streets?
Where he brutally raped a 71-year-old woman. What a great piece. Great in-depth piece on Channel 4, ComoNews.com. You want to view the whole thing. It's important because it gives you a glimpse of how your elected officials have absolutely failed us. Absolutely failed. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. A bill in Olympia that I told you about last week, starting to get some national attention to paint a picture across the country of what a clown show our legislature has become. So this passed out of the Senate last week. It's awaiting passage in the House, but it would force anybody who's running for president to be on the primary or the general election ballot here in Washington State, they would have to release their last 5-year tax returns. Clearly, the Democrats are, you know, crafting this bill just for Donald Trump. And frankly, I wish he would release his tax returns. But, you know, for whatever reason, he will not. But it didn't hurt him in 2016. He still won the election, having not released his returns. And he kept saying it was because he was under audit, whatever. But here's where it gets into such dangerous territory. And I told you about this last week, because we heard from Doug Erickson on this matter. the state senator. So I want you to imagine this scenario, because it's being talked about more and more around the country now. So our radical Democrat leftist state legislature passes a bill that is specifically written and targeting Donald Trump. So the Republicans for the primary, they say, well, we won't do a primary election. We'll do, you know, choose our nominee through the caucus system. And so it's not a factor there. But then Bob Ferguson said he will defend this law that would force a presidential candidate to release their tax returns to get on the ballot here in Washington. So what would happen then if Trump's the Republican nominee in 2020 and he says, yeah, I'm still not releasing my tax returns? Then Washington would be the only state in the country that would not allow the Republican nominee on the general election ballot in our state. Now, I don't care how you feel about Donald Trump. Are you comfortable with a bunch of dopes? And let's say, I mean, I've talked to several of the people who are part of this radical Democrat legislation in Olympia, or delegation, I should say. Not a lot of brain power there. Are you comfortable with having the legislature, let's say, because the Republicans had the Senate for a while here in Washington, would you be comfortable if Republicans had carefully crafted a way to keep Barack Obama off the ballot in 2012? Or Hillary Clinton in 2016, for that matter? Would you be comfortable with our state saying we will be the only state in the country that does not allow a major party presidential candidate on the ballot? And if you say, yeah, I'm fine with that, I hate Trump, it just shows the hypocrisy, because this could be crafted against a Democrat in other states. I'm sure that some red states would love to retaliate and find ways to keep the Democrat nominee off the ballot. Think that's a little bit of a slippery slope? That's kind of dopes we have in Olympia right now. All right, we'll talk to that teacher in Tacoma next.